Hi everyone, welcome to Yachting International Radio. Today I have Kim with us, and Kim owns a company called Positive Productivity. Now, I know in our industry, productivity is pretty essential. So Kim's going to share her insights about productivity and also connect it to mental health and wellness. So welcome, Kim, to the Yachting International Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel so underdressed.
Well, I've got my party dress on because I'm going away this weekend, so I'm really excited.
My husband's going to be like, why can't you wear clothes like that?
Yeah, well, being, I think you're a solopreneur, aren't you? Do you have a team?
I'm in between. Okay, I don't want a timestamp, but let's just go for it. I had to take some time off from my team when the world changed, but they're all on standby and they'll be back. So yeah, I'm a solopreneur at the moment, and that tests mental health, let me tell you. You know, we try to get into the habit of not doing everything ourselves, and then we find ourselves doing everything ourselves again. It's like, yes. Holy moly, what the heck am I doing?
Absolutely. And another thing about being a solopreneur, that we hang out mostly in our activewear, so that's hence why I thought, you know, I'd go put a little bit of extra effort. Otherwise, I'll just be in my activewear continuing with what I have to do for the rest of the day. So it's nice to dress up. And I think you look absolutely gorgeous. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So let's get started. So why positive productivity? It started with a podcast, didn't it?
Yeah. So in June of 2016, I started recording the podcast, and I really had no idea what it was going to be. I simply started getting onto conversations with other entrepreneurs, talking to them about their businesses. And I was really focusing on the tools, when in fact, I really didn't care about the tools that they were using. I cared about their stories and the experiences that they've had. But then in July of 2016, I had a major, the biggest moment I'd have to say of my life, besides my marriage and childbirth and, you know, my own birth. You know, I laid in bed one night, wondering if the ceiling fan over my head could support my weight if I hung myself from it. And I know this is not positive, but there is a point. I was sleep deprived. I had gone the previous year and a half sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night because I was trying to do everything and anything myself. And I was saying yes to everybody. I had no idea what my purpose or my passion were. And I drove myself into major anxiety and depression and got to that point. But I'm so thankful to have my faith that pulled me through. And now, you know, now I can still be here to share the story and how that's not the way to be. That's not the way to live.
Wow. I've got goosebumps everywhere. My arms down to my toes. Thank you so much for sharing such a significant event in your life. So you said you were only getting a few hours sleep for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a result of having children, or what was contributing to that?
Well, coincidentally, my twins were a year and a half old at that point, but my husband is amazing. He was the one. I would sleep right through them crying. He would get up, he would bottle them, he would put them back to sleep. So I cannot blame the kids at all, but I was the primary breadwinner. So I was saying yes to any client, any prospect who came my way, thinking, okay, I've got to take this, even if they're not my ideal client, even if it's not work I want to do, I have to say yes, or else we might not have food to eat, you know? So I said yes to everything, everybody. I probably committed myself to 120 to 160 hours of work every week. I mean, if somebody said, can you get this to me tomorrow? I would say yes. Wow. And even if I already had 40 hours booked for tomorrow, I would say yes. And there were so many nights that I would be here at my desk with my eyes crossing, having to redo things like 4 and 5 times because I was just so tired. And when you get that tired, and I know from talking to you before that that's in the super yachting, you're working nonstop. You're exhausted. So I'm sure you understand a little bit what I'm talking about, but you have to take care of yourself because sleep deprivation, the side effects of it are real. And I don't think a lot of people really understand the correlation between sleep deprivation and mental health.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I actually woke up this morning thinking the most important thing for my business is my sleep. because this week I've been waking up at 20 past four every single morning. And I'm like, what is going on? And we just simply can't function without the sleep. We can't produce the quality of work that we want to produce. And so it's about recognizing what is triggering, say, for example, insomnia or the anxiety or the depression, and really addressing it as soon as possible, then letting it unravel, because it is impact all areas of your life, your relationships, your business, your work, your career, family life, everything. So what I'm hearing from you, it is so important to set healthy boundaries and perhaps also recognize where your values and priorities lie.
Exactly. I had to get really clear on who my ideal client is. Not just the industry and where they're at, but even their attitude. Because for me, I can't work with people who are in scarcity mindset. I can't work with micromanagers. And unfortunately, sometimes you just don't know that. But when you do realize that somebody is wrong for you, you have to be able to say no. And I can't believe I'm admitting, but it took me 40 years to start saying no to people.
Mm.
40 years.
That's interesting. So what do you think that's connected to? What is the correlation? Is it your upbringing, lived experiences? Were your parents, you know, always saying yes to things? What do you think it is?
Well, I was taught not to burn bridges, and I think I correlated saying no to burning bridges, when in fact you can build stronger bridges by saying no. Because when you say no to 90% of things and you say yes to only the 10% or less that actually are good for you, then you can do them so much better. And it took me 40 years to figure that out. If I can do one thing good instead of, or awesomely instead of 10 things really poorly, then I can build my business a lot easier. I can charge more even, you know, because I'm doing so much better work and people are respecting and they're passing on referrals, and wait lists are not a bad thing, you know. And even, this is embarrassing to admit, but just a year ago, and remember, I had the sleep deprivation, anxiety and depression 4 years ago, but just a year ago, I was still going through. I'm 41 now. And I said, it took me 40 years to say no. Ooh. Just last year, I signed up to be a Girl Scout troop leader from one of my daughters, because I was so busy in my business that I wanted to make sure I could control what night of the week the the troop meetings were, which is the most ridiculous thing. I'm already overbooked, busy. So I sign up for something else just because I want to say in what night of the week the meetings are.
Wow.
So that's what happens when you're overbooked and over busy and just stressed out.
Because you want to regain that sense of control, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what I did was I ended up giving up more control, because now there's something else that's controlling my weekly count, or my another weeknight.
Absolutely. So going back to that point where your mental health was seriously suffering and you were thinking of ending your life, what was the buildup? You mentioned the sleep, so we've gone through that. Was there anything else going on?
Because I was saying yes to everybody, I was not doing my best job performance that I could. So there was a lot of depression and anxiety that came from that alone, because I love to do great work. And I was letting not only my clients down, but myself. Mm. So there was that guilt. I was letting my kids down because I barely saw them. I mean, they saw more of the back of my head. I have no idea. I have 5-year-old twins. I have no idea what their first words were. I don't know when they walked for the first time. I don't know when they sat up for the first time on their own, because I missed it all because I was so busy being busy. Yeah.
Gosh, incredible. So the limiting belief that you had about, I have to say yes because then I will burn bridges if I don't, how did you overcome that belief?
I said yes to a few people that I shouldn't have, and it bit me in the butt big time. And I started to taste my own medicine. I realized if I had said no, I could have prevented this. And there were a few separate occasions. And then I realized I need to make a change. Last, About a year ago, my husband and I were about to get divorced. Like, we were talking about divorce. He's my best friend. He's my soulmate. But he was tired of it. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't seeing me. I was, you know, we had had enough was enough. One of the clients that I had overcommitted to lied. And we nearly lost our house because of my overcommitment to the client. I was basically having an affair with my business.
Oh gosh, I can totally relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are a lot of entrepreneurs watching. They will watch this interview or listen to it on the radio. So it's not only Super Yacht Crew who are burnt out and who find it difficult to set healthy boundaries and say no. A lot of them stay. We call it the golden handcuffs in our industry. So you get paid to work extremely hard. Going back to what I said, like, I can relate to your story, and it's almost like an obsession as well from an entrepreneur's perspective, because it is it's like giving birth to a baby, having a business, and mm-hmm. we're so attached to it. Our sense of identity, my sense of purpose, is enmeshed in that as well. So yeah, that is so interesting.
I sacrificed a lot with my family to help a client build their business. And I'm going to try to keep this gender neutral as to not point fingers. And there was a point where something did not go right. And it was said that I didn't do the work I did. However, there was an event that came up and I was at the event, and this client presented the work that I did on his sales pitch. I just said his, I didn't mean to do that, but oh well. It was the work that was said that I didn't do and I had had to pay back for, and that's how we nearly lost our house. But they're up there doing their pitch to sell the product again, and there's the work that was said I hadn't done. And I'm like, okay, this is not cool. I can't work with people who don't have integrity. Mm-hmm. And then just a few weeks later, I mean, I had to leave town again. And while it was for my first big speaking gig ever. And my husband's like, I've had enough. Like, I'm sitting in the hotel room at the event and he's like, I think we need to talk about a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have to make a change. Not, you know, saying yes to people of no integrity because I'm afraid of not being able to feed the family. There's got to be another way. I'm not sacrificing my family or my health or anything anymore. So while I had gotten my sleep back on track, I hadn't given myself back to my family. And, you know, I don't believe there is such thing as work-life balance. You're either focusing on one or the other. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to focus on both, you're multitasking, and that's just bad.
Okay.
So, but I was at that point, I was either sleeping or working, and I needed to find a place where there's business, there's family, and there's me time, not just sleeping, you know?
Yeah. So that was the defining moment for you, when you felt like mm-hmm. you've been taken complete advantage of.
Oh yeah.
And your family being thrown under the bus as a result of this person. So I can imagine your partner would have been sort of highlighting to you the warning signs and asking you to stop saying yes all the time. But I know it takes a while to be able to recognize the impact that it's having, because we're kind of in this vortex where we've got our goggles on and we're just, you know, treading water and trying to get through. Yeah. So, yeah, what sort of behaviors was he recognizing from the outside in within you?
It's never a good thing, and I'm really transparent. It's never a good thing when you're in bed with your partner and in activities, and I'm sorry, I'm just being fully honest, and there's a text and you have to stop because you're afraid of disappointing a client. That should never happen.
Yeah.
You're your spouse or your partner will hopefully be in it with you for the rest of your life. The client is only going to go probably a few years.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So why are they able to interrupt your rare intimate time with their emergencies?
Yeah.
It shouldn't happen.
And yeah. Yeah, that's also interesting because as super yacht crew, your needs are on the back burner. Like they don't even count your personal needs. So I even remember I was sick on board and I ignored it for a long time because it's not about me on the yacht. Like even though my health was quite, I was in a serious condition, you just can't. And then my dad also got cancer and he thought he was going to die. And we were between Turkey and Greece. And I was like, well, I can't go home. And I convinced myself he was going to be fine. And thank goodness he was. But it's like your needs do not take priority. Mm-hmm. And so when do you, pull that plug and go, mm-hmm. hold on a minute, what am I doing? It's difficult.
Yeah. So in 2018, I was in the hospital emergency room 4 times because I was so stressed and I wasn't taking care of myself. And one of the times I put off going as late as I could. And it was actually my team who pulled together and said, you either go, because I had a fever, I was shaking and they knew it. I was trying to use my laptop from my bed. Like I had the blankets over me because I was feeling freezing, but I had a fever, which was causing it. They're like, you either go to the hospital or we're all walking out on you. That's the type of people that you need. They're like, your clients can wait. We will contact them. But I was so afraid of letting clients down that I was going through this. I got to the hospital and found out I had a severe kidney infection. They said, it's good you came today because you were almost septic.
Sure. So what caused the kidney infection?
Stress. I've realized that it's stress related. When I can control my stress, when I keep my stress levels down, when I'm taking care of myself, when I'm sleeping, I rarely get sick. I might get colds, but I have 5 kids, right? That happens.
Yeah.
But I haven't gotten sick this year. Of course, this has been a strange year, but I haven't gotten sick this year.
Yeah.
And in 2019, I didn't get sick. So,
yeah. So you speak about managing your stress, and mm-hmm. obviously there's other components that feed into that in terms of having your mental health and sustaining well-being in your life. So what specific strategies are you integrating in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, so I set aside journaling time every day. Uh-huh. I realize I will toss and turn before bed if I don't journal, or if my mind is racing. I'm a very creative type, so my mind will race and it's not a bad thing. But if I journal, then I feel a lot better. I also make a point of doing soulful reading. Right now I'm reading A Course in Miracles and A Year of Miracles, and I haven't read either of them yet. But I'll just read a little bit every day.
Okay.
And then I really have to control what I'm doing as far as learning goes, because and maybe you can relate. There's so many entrepreneurs who will sign up for 1,000 different programs, right? And they barely get into one. But now they have all this debt because they've purchased all these programs thinking it's going to be the next golden ticket, but they don't ever implement. So I'm being really mindful about not signing up for anything else, reducing how much I'm unsubscribing left and right because I don't need all the extra clutter. And if I showed you my desk right now, it's a bit of a mess. I realize that I need my desk to be clutter-free, because when my desk is clutter-free, then my mind is clutter-free.
Mm-hmm.
I can focus a lot better. And that's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
But I do my best. And then the last thing is I do my best. I'm not always perfect at it. Yeah. To get away from electronics an hour before bedtime.
Okay. Yeah, that's so important. So when just going back to the journaling, are there specific prompts that you use or is it free flow?
I start every entry with a gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And usually a memory for the day, because I don't want to get to, you know, through another 10 years and not remember. I mean, I will journal again before I sleep tonight, but I took my journal to soccer practice for my daughter tonight. And I even journaled, today's the day that my kid puked at school, you know, because it's never happened in all the years that my kids have been in school. But it's these little things, you know, when we get to their weddings in 30 years, I'm going to have a record now because I've taken time to document. So gratitude, memory, and then my intention for the day. Mm. And I do a journaling practice every morning when I get up, and that's how I like to start the day, and with my reading. And then when I go to bed, I will journal anything that I need to so that I can sleep peacefully.
Okay. Amazing. That's so helpful to all the listeners. Thank you, Kim.
Hey, you're welcome.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your business? Who do you serve and how do you help them?
So marketing and business automation for business and life coaches. Right now, I do a lot of strategy. I'm looking forward to getting my team back together, and they'll be helping me implement. But then on the flip side, systems and strategies set up so they can get away from their businesses and back into bed or back to the people and activities that they love.
Incredible. And then talking about the people that they love, in terms of your family, how are you making time for them in your business?
I am doing my best to have a 5 p.m. cutoff every day. It's challenging some days, but I've made it to every single soccer game of my son's this year, which last year I only made it to one. So that's a win of mine.
Yeah.
So I'm really working to be as involved as possible this year. I'm working to be at the dinner table every night. And there were years that I was never at the dinner table. Yeah. So, you know, just making sure that I'm there.
Yeah. And are they noticing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the quality of the relationships with your children and husband, obviously, as well, that would be dramatically different.
Oh, dramatically. Yeah. My husband and I are back to where we were 10 years ago. So he loves having his wife back. And I just want to make it perfectly clear. Like, there was no infidelity. It was just me being more with my business than with him. So he has his wife back.
Yeah, beautiful. And I'm so happy that, you know, you were able to make that transformation, and you're making a huge impact in the lives of others. And thank you so much for sharing your story, because so many of us can relate to it. And it's even, you know, I think it's there in the back of our minds for so many, but when you hear it out loud, you're like, oh my gosh. And just hearing your journey where you ended up, you know, people might be very close to that stage, but this is an opportunity to really take accountability and reflect and make a better choice.
Absolutely. I just want to add one more thing, if I can. After that night when I didn't kill myself, like, I hadn't even talked to my husband about how I was feeling, because I didn't want him to feel guilty. I didn't want him to think it was his fault. Yeah. But I opened up to a friend the next day, and she ended up pointing me in a direction of so many resources that helped me. And I don't want anybody who might be going through what I was going through to feel like they can't talk to anybody. If you don't have anybody to talk to, then in my opinion, you're not hanging out with the right people. You have to build the network of people who can support you when you're going through mental health issues.
Yes, 100%. And that's one of the most important, is having a positive support network and people that get you. And I know for some, it's really, even though they're great friends, for some friends you can talk to about these things, but some friends you can't. And that's okay. Not everyone can be there for you in very unique and special ways. And I know what people struggle with the most when they disclose is they might get feedback from their friends like, don't worry, you'll get over it, or just go for a run, go listen to some music, you'll be fine. And that's not helpful. It's right. Even just sitting there in silence is more powerful than anything. It's just being right there and listening.
Right. And you don't need to say anything. and you don't need to judge if you're going to be that friend. Mm. Just lending an ear is sometimes the biggest gift. That's it.
Yeah. Well, what a lovely way to close off. But before we do, Kim, how do people contact you? How can they reach out?
Yeah, everything, all the best contact ways can be found on my website, which is at thekimsutton.com.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you again, Kim. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.